Good evening. The time is now 4 p.m. The Warwick Finance Committee is in session. Item number one is PCR 65-22, resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. May I have a motion of favorable action to open for public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
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 Item number two, PCR 66-22, resolution adapting the budget and setting the tax rate of the City of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2022 and ending July 30th, 2023. May I have a motion of favorable action with public hearing?
Move for favorable action with public hearing.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The time is now 4:01. Finance Committee is closed.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I call the City of Warwick City Council meeting, special budget meeting for May 23rd to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister.
Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gephardt. Mr. Howe.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser.
Here.
Mr. McElroy.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Mr. Snappy.
Here.
Ms. Travis.
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Foley, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the hope of the
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to give a couple of comments on the start of the meeting about the process of the meeting, and then we are going to dive right into it. So tonight, Monday and Tuesday, tonight and tomorrow night, the City Council and members of the public can ask the administration questions on each department category in the budget. We're going to go through the entire budget. I ask that we will get an answer from the administration to your questions. We may agree or disagree with the answer, but once a question is answered, we will move on. Again, Monday and Tuesday of this week will be the public hearings. And then on Thursday, that's when amendments will be made and votes will be taken. Amendments may be made and votes will be taken. Everyone will get the exact same amount of time when presenting and asking their questions to the administration. We ask council members and the public to please pause when their time is up to allow everyone an opportunity to speak. The clerk will be enforcing the council rules, so she will have the clock going. Again, everyone gets the same opportunity to speak, whether you're a council member or a member of the public. This is to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to be heard. Any process questions on the meeting itself will be answered by Solicitor Walsh. And I think it's safe to say that, you know, everyone here tonight, the council members, the administration, the public, we all want what's best for our city. We all want what's best for our community. So I just ask everybody to stay respectful tonight. I look forward to a thoughtful discussion on the budget. So with that, I invite the administration to come join us at the table here. Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, team. I believe the mayor is wants to dive right into the budget here. So he has foregone his opening remarks. He's presented the budget to us, and that's what we're here to discuss this evening. So at this time, I will call on Director Schaefer, who is going to give a presentation. Do we need to make a motion? And we will dive right in. So the first item this evening is revenue. Director Schaefer.
Thank you. I just want to put this in context, and we didn't cover this part of it last year, but how's that? Better?
Much closer, please, Director.
Peter, 1 second. We're going to take a motion just to open the meeting, and then second, then we'll come back to you. So can I have a motion, Councilman Howe, to open the public hearing?
Committee voted favorable action motion to open the meeting to the public.
Second by Councilman Ricks, Councilman Foley, and Councilman McElroy, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, and Councilman Gephardt. The clerk will call the roll to open the public hearing. Sorry.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to open the public hearing.
Thank you very much. Director Schaefer, the floor is yours.
All right, thank you. I just, with regards to revenues, let me just say one thing on property taxes is obviously the big one here. And I'm comfortable that we have a conservative estimate. If you go to our collections in, and I like to look at how our collections, both prior year and current year, compare to the total levy. And if you go to our audit report, the tax collector's report, we collected almost 99.9% of our levy in fiscal year 21. And part of that was very high. Part of that was because I had a first tax sale in 2 years. But the same comparative analysis, we're at 99.1% in the fiscal year 23 budget as current year and prior year taxes as compared to the total levy. So I'm comfortable that we've got the right number in this budget. The second thing I wanted to talk about was other revenue collections. And for the most part, we focused on estimating revenues based upon a 3-year average. In some cases, especially in the real estate area, we used more up-to-date data because clearly there's been a good resurgence, whether it's real estate transfer taxes, building permit fees. We're doing better than the 3-year average. For state aid, we're using just what's published in the state budget. But I do want to focus on one thing that's not really covered in the mayor's message, but was last year, is results of the pandemic. And there are still some categories of revenues that even forecasted in 23 have not recovered to our baseline, and the baseline being pre-pandemic. And for example, airport car rental fees, we collected almost $1 million in fiscal year 19. Our estimate is around $750,000 in 23. We're looking at only collecting around $400,000 or $500,000 in the current year. There's a possibility of improvement on that. Same with airport parking. We have not recovered the airport parking fees. Were almost $1.3 million in fiscal year 19. We're only estimating around a little over $700,000. There's an opportunity for some improvement in this year and certainly the following year if we're talking about long-term financial situation of the city. Room occupancy has recovered better than the direct airport categories, but we're still somewhat below. And the last one that I would talk about is investment earnings. Our investment earnings on free flow cash plummeted when the pandemic hit as the federal, they've just started to improve. We're still looking at an estimate that is a couple of $100,000 lower in fiscal year 23 than we collected back in, especially fiscal year 20. We collected almost $600,000 in investment earnings, short-term investment earnings. We're estimating about $250,000 this year. So I think there are real possibilities for improvement. They haven't materialized yet. We don't have the data, but we think there's some real opportunity for improvement in a number of these revenue categories. So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, that's my opening comment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schaefer. And I do want to point out that this is a new item that has been added. This is the first time that this item has been added to this schedule list that was requested by a number of council members that wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to speak of this. Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Chairman Howe, or some of them. So I just want to point out that we are open and want to discuss everything that includes within the budget. So at this time, are there any members of the City Council that would like to speak on the revenue portion of the budget? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. And also thank you for including the revenue into this discussion. This is something that I think is important that we have that opportunity to discuss. Because if we don't know how much we're getting, we certainly are not going to be able to forecast how much we're going to be spending. I have a numerous amount of questions for the director. And I'd like to start with the with the McDermott pool fees 100-03518. You are projecting for 2023 about a 50% increase in those fees for the swimming pool. Is that because the pool is back in full swing, or are there other reasons for that projection?
I can tell you that the baseline, things were not in full swing at the beginning of the fiscal year.
I'm sorry, you have to speak into the mic. I can't hear you.
I can tell you the baseline, that is the current year, things were not in full swing. You know, this is one problem. This is an area where we really need Parks and Rec to testify on that. They will be here for their department. But I can't speak to, I believe we're using the estimate. Let me just look at.
But this revenue budget is proposed by you, is it not?
Not in some of the departmental categories. We're relying on their evidence they presented. Most of them, yes, but that's one, that or the rink. I would not have.
Mr. President, if I may recommend that they give Mr. Schaefer the microphone in the center of the table, therefore he can face the person while holding the microphone. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer.
Could you repeat that, Mr. Schaefer? You was talking about some of the departments.
Well, just, I mean, you can, if you're talking about the pool, you know, we collected $70,000 last year. We've collected $105,000 through the end of February. So I don't think that's an unreasonable estimate, but it's one of the few. You're asking a question where you really need that department. I'm just not an expert on that. And I don't think you'll find many others that are like that, but this is one you really, when Parks and Recreation is here, you should talk to Beverly.
Okay, so essentially, Parks and Rec provided you with the numbers and you just plugged them in. Okay.
And that's not the case with most of the others, but in terms of the recreation and a few others, it's really just relying on the department.
With the rescue service fees, in 2022, there was quite an uptick in those rescue fees. And I would add that this council, several years ago, increased the rescue fees substantially to mirror some of our neighboring cities and towns. That increase is not borne by the taxpayers of the city of Warwick. I want to emphasize that. That is not an expense incurred by the residents of the city of Warwick. It's a fee that's assessed to the insurance companies and outside cities that we do service for. So in 2022, the uptick, I'm going to assume, would be COVID related because of additional rescue runs.
Well, just if you look at the numbers in the budget, we collected in fiscal year 20, almost $3.3 million. Then there was a drop off during the pandemic. Chief will tell you, people didn't want to go to the hospital. They didn't want to take the rescue run. So there was some kind of a fall off during the worst of the pandemic. So we're estimating $3.5 million. We collected almost $3.3 million the last good base year, which was 2020. I think that's a good estimate, reasonable estimate.
That's not what I was asking. I was asking from the proposed budget of fiscal year 2022, you had budgeted 2.9 million. The projected number is 3.7 million. I'm asking if you think that uptick was a result of COVID folks not going or now folks going.
I've got to turn this over to Lynn because she's involved in that program more than I am.
Okay.
So some of that uptick would be the increase that the council approved a couple of years ago. There was a decrease because people just weren't driving. It was more about car accidents. So unfortunately, those have had quite an uptick. Also, the council approved a collection agency. So I was able to send a lot of the old bills to that agency and we collected quite a bit more.
And you're reducing it by a couple hundred thousand this year. What's the reasoning for that?
There aren't as many bills being sent to the collection agency.
They're what, please?
We don't send as many bills to the collection agency as we used to.
Okay.
So we brought it down a little bit.
I mean, that's an important number because if some of these projections are off, one way or another, obviously it's going to have an impact as to where we are in the future. State fines and penalties, what is that? It is item number 03, it's 100-03676.
know all the number of different components, correct? I don't know all the different components. I don't know all the different components. We could research for you, but it's not a material amount of money, but it's $100,000 for the year. But
you don't think that's a material amount of money?
Not to a $330 million budget. No, I don't.
To a taxpayer paying the bill, it is.
All I can say is,
when you don't know what that number, you don't know what that revenue is. So how are we going to track that number?
All I can say is that if you look at the budget, we collected $111,000 in fiscal year 20, $97,000 in fiscal year 21. We're estimating $100,000.
Mr. Schaefer, I understand that. I can read the numbers. I've got them right here in front of me. I'm asking, what is state fines and penalties? I'm asking, what is that revenue? If you're going to track a number, if you're going to track numbers, you obviously should know where it's coming from.
I mean, we have, that's what I'm asking. Am I correct, Lynn? We have one revenue code for a number of different, very small fees, some of them city clerks, some of them.
So
you have 2 minutes, Councilman Lattisa.
Excuse me?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Oh, so we're gonna hold to this 3 minute thing. We got a $340 million budget here, and we're just gonna hold to 3 minutes. Okay. So then that's gonna be a little difficult to get the answers to these questions then. Because right now we have a line item of $100,000 that's just minuscule, but we don't know where the money's coming from, and I sure don't know how you're gonna track it. On page 61, the item 100-03329, airport parking surcharge.
Yes, and that's what I talked about earlier at the beginning of my presentation.
Yeah, I know
we
you,
have
you
not
had
seen
spoken
the,
about. I'm we, asking you why that particular line item has been reduced.
Because we haven't seen the recovery.
Okay.
From the experience at the airport corporation.
Has the gate at the airport increased this year or in this fiscal year? We brought in a new airlines.
Let's see, where is it?
It's on page 61 in the budget. It's down about five or six items from the top. But 03329.
Going back, and we went back further. In 2019, airport parking fees, we collected almost $1.3 million. In fiscal year 20, that dropped to $1 million. We're only estimating about $773,000. We have not seen a recovery on the airport parking fees or on one of the other categories that I talked about earlier. And I think it's a window of opportunity. I hope it's going to be higher. Okay. But we haven't seen any evidence that they've got the kind of, and I keep seeing the signs, I think they've reduced their price too. But we haven't seen the kind of recovery that we hope to see long term.
That's why I was asking you the question. Again, with the decline, what I'm looking for is that you are comfortable that this is the bottom number. And if there's any place for
yes,
that
I would
revenue
say,
to go, it's up.
Absolutely. I would say airport-related, investment-related, we're about $1.3 million. Our estimate for 23 is about $1.3 million below fiscal year 19, which was the pre-pandemic year. And so I talked earlier, so we've got airport car rental fees are below what they were back then. The airport parking fees, room occupancy, a little bit below. And obviously investment earnings with very low investment rates up until about 2 months ago.
Other than these 1, 2, 3, 4 items from the airport, does the airport pay any other monies to the city?
I believe the EDC is getting the money from the Airport Corporation and transmitting it to us. That's where Lynn is receiving monthly wires, something like that.
And that number is $754,000. So is it accurate to say, other than these other fees, which is car rental and parking and surcharge, the only monies that the airport is paying to the city of Warwick is $754,000?
No,
well, that's projected. Actually, this year, it was $744,000 projected. That's what the airport's paying us, $745,000.
There's three different categories.
I understand that. I already identified the other three. Those are fees and surcharges. The airport themselves, the Airport Corporation, for being located in our city, for taking 3,600 homes, for using our police and fire on numerous occasions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All they're paying the city of Warwick is $745,000. Is that right?
He's just looking at the, I couldn't hear what he said, but those three categories.
Councilman Latta, sir, it's actually those top four accounts. So 3, 3, 2, 4, 2, 6, 2, 8, 2, 9, they're all back to back. Another important component of the airport is quite simply the airport tax. Our airports are full all the time because of it.
I'm sorry.
But yes, that directly, those are the only four payments the airport
makes. Which ones are you talking about? I can't understand what you're saying.
3, 3, 2, 4, airport EDC.
Yes, that's
3, 3, 2, 6, airport parking.
Right.
3, 3, 2, 8,
mm-hmm.
rental car surcharge. 3, 3, 2, 9, airport parking surcharge. They're all back to back on the budget.
I get it. I understand. What percentage of their take, they being the airport, on airport parking, airport car rental, and airport parking surcharge,
so
what percent of their take are they reimbursing or are they paying to us?
3324 is actually a component of flights. There's a whole ridership calculation that comes through the airport through EDC. The 3326 is a flat amount that I believe is a state law, $500,000 a year. 3328 and 3329 have to do with a surcharge on rental cars and parking at the airport.
What's the percentage that they're paying us on 3328 and 3,
I don't remember 3, 2, off the top of my head.
It's in the statute. It's in the state law, what the fee is per unit of measurement. I don't know what the
We don't know what that fee is.
No, it's
So and how
it
do
hasn't,
we track
it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed in many years.
Yeah, I remember attending some of those Airport Corporation meetings and speaking about those percentages. So how do you track those numbers? If we're not sure what the percentage is that they're paying, how do you, let's assume it's 7%. How do you know that $394,000 and that $774,000, how do you know that's the right number? Do they provide you with accounting for what their car rental charges were, and here's your 7% off of that, and that's how we come to that number? Or is that just the number that they send on over and we accept?
No, but we're tracking monthly payments that we receive from them, or periodic payments, and seeing how we stand during the year relative to our budget estimate, and then coming up with an estimate for the new year. And it's clear that they haven't had, in those two categories, it's clear we haven't had the recovery back to the baseline in 2019 that we had.
I'm not talking about the recovery. I'm talking about the accounting that documents how they came up with $394,410. How do we know that number is accurate? Based on what mathematical formula? You have money in, a percentage out, and that's what comes to us. How do we know what that number is? That's what I'm asking. What's the formula? How do you know? Is there an accounting that the airport provides to the city saying, we collected whatever it is, $1 million in rentals, you're getting 7%, here it is? Or they just send us a check?
All the money is sent to the state from the airport. The state then sends us the money. The state in charge of accounting for all of the auditing of that number.
The state is.
Yeah, the state takes the fee, and then the state.
So, are they required to provide us with an accounting that comes down to these numbers?
No, but I'm sure they would provide it.
So then we don't know. We don't know if these numbers are right or wrong, because we don't have the basis of how they're coming up with what they're sending us.
We get paid in real time.
It's what, please?
We get paid in real time. So this is just us estimating what the ridership or the parking will be next year.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And I understand they send us a check, and I understand we deposit the check. What I'm asking is, when they send the check, how do you know the check is for the right amount? If they're not providing you with how many cars they rented, what their rental income is, and here's your percentage, how do we know the number is right?
Unless we're at the airport counting parking tickets, I don't know how to do that, to be honest.
Well, then I guess that's something that would be worthwhile looking into, because with the other departments, when we get bills for tires from DPW, we know how many tires we got, and we know how much each tire costs and what we're paying. I think that's something that should be looked into, and I think that somebody, the state or the airport corporation, should be sending us an accounting. Whenever they send you a check, you should be getting an accounting of how they're coming up with this payment, because otherwise, I don't know if it's accurate. I'll put it on me. I don't know if it's accurate. If I don't see an accounting on how they did the math, I don't know it's accurate.
Thank you, Councilman. I'm going to ask that you take a pause here so I can see if other council members have questions. Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you, Council President. Let's get my notes here. Director, I'll just start at the top. I'll start with big numbers. State reimbursement, so it's 103,303,319, state reimbursement motor vehicle tax phase out. So obviously that has been accelerated. That number for 2023 is significant, you know, $6 million higher than projected in 22. But I had some questions just about the projected versus actual for 22. Which there's a significant shortfall there. So I'm just wondering if there's any risk in that 17,895 number and any other info you have on that.
I mean, this is the number that was provided to us by the state based upon execution of the next phase as it's provided in state law, going to $20, maximum $20 rate, exemption increasing to $6,000, and Neil came up with what the levy would be based upon, and then the state came up with a number as to what our reimbursement would be. And this is the number that's in the state budget.
I guess the follow-up question and the important thing to get us comfortable, I think, with that line is just the shortfall against the budget in 22, and then is there any risk in 23?
Councilman, essentially, it's a wash, because for every dollar we don't tax, we'll get more reimbursement from the state. So whatever comes into this bucket will come away from the other bucket. The number is a set number, about $25,246,000, give or take.
Understood. So it's really just a shift between whether the state's paying or the taxpayers are paying it. But the bigger the number here, the more relief to the city's taxpayers, essentially.
Yes, it won't cause any loss in revenue at all.
Great, thank you. Let me see if I have any other tax-related questions while you're there. The transfer tax, where is that? Realty transfer tax is that a state tax, or is that a municipal? Is that a pass-through from the state?
Excuse me, what number is that?
Sorry, 100,03507.
Thank you.
I still don't know what he asked. Recording fees?
He's asking for the realty transfer tax. Second line.
The $2 million for the figure?
Yep.
Well, we've just seen the evidence of what we've collected so far, and while the sales are down, the number of sales, the value of those sales is way up, and this is, you know, if there's an area that we might be a little cautious about, this is one, because interest rates, since we put this budget together, have gone up 50 basis points, 100 basis points, but I'm comfortable at the time we put this budget in that that was a good solid number in terms of the evidence of what we've had so far this year.
Okay. All right. So this is associated with, this is a fee that's assessed during any property transaction. Is that
I mean, the 3-year average has been about $1.6 million on the collection of that fee. And year to date at the time we were putting the budget was $1.5 million. We'd collected $1.5 million. So, I'm comfortable with that number as of the time we made the estimate. You know, things change in the economy. Interest rates going up may affect that, but certainly based upon having collected $1.5 million 3/4 of the way through the year, a $2 million estimate is reasonable.
Okay, great. Thank you. Pilot revenue, payment in lieu of taxes, 103,327. We stay consistent, it looks like, with past trends, but then the 2021 actual, there's this large loss. So I just want to make sure I understand that and eliminate any risk from that category as well.
Which one is it?
It's on the first.
And that's right from the state budget. They do as I believe Neil provides a listing of all our tax-exempt property to the state, that qualifying tax-exempt property, which would be mainly Kent County Hospital, but also a little bit New England Tech. And they follow a state law in terms of what the average tax rate is and pay us 27% of what we would have collected if it was taxed.
Yeah, Councilman, there were a few properties that transferred throughout the year. We do provide a list to the state, and like Peter said, we get 27% of what the taxes would be had the property been taxed at the normal rates. So it does ebb and flow. A few years back, it was Johnson & Wales. When they closed their facility, we lost a little bit there. This case, I believe it was New England Tech that had a couple of properties that changed. We picked up a little bit with the hospital, but that was the reason for the loss in this fiscal year.
So in this line on 2021, there's a net loss of 896,388. That is expected revenue from entities that would not typically pay tax that then changed hands or something?
I'll answer that one.
Thank you.
So that was a very strange year. A lot of our state aid was put on pause. This payment comes straight from the state again. They paused that. Our accounting firm had us accrue the revenue to the previous year, but the state replaced the funding through CARES funding, so we had to negate it here. And then you'll find it over in this 8-4 COVID relief 100-03316. It was part of that component. Part of the motor vehicle tax is there too, which is why motor vehicle is artificially low there.
Okay, got it.
It was a strange accounting error.
Got it.
That nope, error, makes entry.
Makes sense. I am on a timer here, so I'm going to move myself along. What are the current assumptions in terms of return for the interest on taxes category? I can find that for you.
I
There's 2 minutes, Councilman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's 1000-3612.
Kyla?
You guys might want to sit closer.
Kyla will answer.
So that would be interest on taxes that have gone delinquent.
Just check your mic. I don't think
better.
Yeah.
So it'd be interest on tax bills that have gone delinquent. Council approves in the budget the interest rate, and it has been historically 1% a month on the unpaid balance on the account for a total of 12% a year. So it's in anticipation of prior year's collections on just the interest.
Okay, got it. And does that jive with what we expect to see in the current year? I mean, I know things are changing in terms of returns.
I would say it's been pretty consistent year over year, because if there's a shortfall in say, motor vehicles going delinquent, there's the increase in the property taxes being current due to sales of properties and everything. So there'll be a fluctuation in where it comes from, but it's usually pretty consistent.
Okay. I mean, I do see that one stays fairly consistent year over year. I just know that the markets are in flux now. So, all right. Thank you. The last one I'll ask now is just under abatements and credits. This may be for Neil also. That is budgeted down $500,000 $500,000 from the current fiscal. Is that in any way due to the reval postponement or some other reason?
Internally, we've made a lot of substantial process improvements. So initially, we had budgeted $1,750,000 in the current fiscal year. We reduced that down this year because I think those process improvements will continue going forward. And even though there's going to be a little bit of probably increased appeals that result from the reval delay, we don't expect it to be at the level it was anticipated last year.
Can you give an example of what a process improvement that would cause a decline in abatements would be?
Basically, it's training the staff. Before I got here, there was a lot of telling people they should wait until the tax bills come out before they file the appeal. So we're now addressing things before the bills are going out so that anybody that has a legitimate issue, we solve without having to involve an abatement. There's also a lot of changes with the exemptions, a lot of reconciliation between the different software programs. We've had years before I got here that, quite honestly, I'm not sure how they missed it, but they weren't really paying attention and making sure the numbers reconciled. We have that down pretty well at this point. So I'm pretty confident that when we certify the tax roll, we can expect that revenue coming in, with the exception of some valid appeals that will happen.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm all set for now.
Thank you, Councilman. And just for everybody's information, what we're trying to do is I want to give everybody an opportunity to speak. So if an individual, a council person, a member of the public asks a question and the time limit goes up, but they haven't gotten the answer yet, it's the same topic, we're going to allow it to go on, like with Councilman Lattiser, it was the same topic. He was got his response, then he paused. Councilman Gephardt went next, stuff like that. So we're not just going to slam it down immediately. Question gets answered. We're going to get the response on that one topic. Then we will pause and move on. So Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, thank you. Peter, on page 59, 100-03315, American Rescue Plan. What is that?
The mayor's message covers this pretty extensively, but we're getting $39.4 million. That's our entitlement.
Part of it's the city share. Part of it is our share of Kent County, which is about 49%. We're getting $39.4 million. You have a list in this budget of something like $28 million in projects. But we're also using some of this money, and it's covered in the mayor's message, to support the operating budget of the city. Some of the things that are associated with the pandemic, or, for example, high energy costs. We're using the money to pay health insurance claims for retirees and active employees that are COVID-related. We've gotten good information from the trust on that. But some of it is to fill holes in the budget, part of which are revenue-related. And I talked, we haven't had a recovery on a lot of the airport. We just talked about that. We haven't had some of it to recover some of the airport and investment earnings. So that is a revenue item for general governmental purposes from American Rescue Funds. Of the $39.4 million, approximately $10.8 million.
Yeah, so you expected almost double then?
Yeah.
Okay. The other one I had, I know some of them were already asked from other councilmen. All right, on page 61, 100-03632, miscellaneous income. What is miscellaneous? The words general and miscellaneous really bother me because I don't know what it is. So, what is miscellaneous income? Because when you look at it, the numbers really go like in budget for 22 was 64,000. Then it was projected 12,000. Now you're talking 16,000. There's a lot of different numbers there.
Just could you just read the code out again? I don't find that.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's 100-03632, miscellaneous income.
I still haven't found it.
I don't know how else to describe
it. It's 15 down from the top.
Yeah, I see it. Quite honestly, I don't know how to describe it other than miscellaneous income, and I can't think of an example at the moment.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
I'm at a blank for an example.
I mean, most of the fees that we collect, most of the fines that we collect are material enough that we set up a separate receipt account code for those fines. Some of them, they're so minimal that we have one receipt account for, and Councilman Lattiser went over one earlier. We set up one receipt account code for maybe 20 or 25 different fees or revenue that we collect, but that it hasn't been material.
So it's a combination.
Otherwise, might have 15 pages of revenue items. So the very small ones we combine into one miscellaneous code.
Okay.
I mean, we could put, Lynn and I could over. Until tomorrow, it would probably take us 15 minutes to research what the different components are, but the
right.
Numerous.
Thank you.
You're set? Okay. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Flipping over to page 61, I'm looking at a line item 100-03678, sale of city property. I see that for fiscal year 2022, the current fiscal year, there is no projection there, and that there is a projection of $4 million in fiscal year 2023. So I wanted to check to see if the $2.1 million from the sale of Wicks School, if that was actually happening in fiscal year 2022, or if it's projected that purchase and sales, the exchange of the money, will happen inside fiscal year 2023.
That's the sale of the schools. We're budgeting for that.
You know,
Councilman Ricks, you wanted to know if the $2.1 million for the sale of Wicks was included? Was that your question?
Yes, included as part of the $4 million total.
Yes.
Okay.
Both the 2.1 and there was another closing, $360,000, 3 weeks before. So both components are as part of that $4 million estimate, even though they were received this year.
The amounts are going to be received this year inside fiscal year 2022, but are being counted as part of fiscal year 2023?
The 2.1 is, the 2.1 is budgeted in next year.
Okay. And the, I think it was 360,000 or thereabouts, that's going to be, that was accepted this current year, so it's not counted as part of the 4 million?
It is not. It's actually going to be in 22. It just didn't make the budget because of the timing.
Okay. Oh, thank you. That that clears that up. Let's see. A couple other questions. I'm not sure if in fiscal year 2022 or 2023, if or how much the city would be receiving in revenue due to switching from West Bay to the trust.
That will be talked about during benefits, right? The healthcare savings will be talked about with benefits probably at the end of these meetings.
Okay. Just to be clear.
As you know, Councilman, a three-year contract was awarded last year to Interlocal Trust based upon the bids submitted by West Bay. We got two bids, so West Bay and Interlocal Trust. The rates obviously roll from year to year based upon claims experiences. We don't know what WB would be proposing for FY23 since they're not our current carrier.
Thank you. I, to be clear, I didn't intend to talk about potential savings of a switch, but rather it was my understanding that because the city had been participating in the trust, that there would be a credit that the city would be receiving due to the previous switch.
Yes, there was a, and then maybe you can answer this, when we depart from one provider to another, just as when we previously had to move from the trust to West Bay back in 2016 or so, there was overcharge or premiums that were paid were returned that were not expended in claims some months after the contract with that provider expired. I don't know what that return amount was from West Bay. I don't know whether Lynn has that number or not.
I don't have it off the top of my head, but I will say we use it to offset the expense and we don't use it as a revenue.
Okay. And I suppose most important thing for our purposes this evening, that would have been accounted for already as part of fiscal year 22, as opposed to something we would be projecting as part of fiscal year 23.
That's correct.
Thank you. I suppose my last item is more of, well, I suppose one more item just to be clear on the record. What would be the percentage forecast for, as the percentage for fiscal year 23?
Could you repeat that? The acoustics here are a little challenging. Oh, could you repeat that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't quite hear. I'm sorry. It's the mics.
Could you repeat that, Councilman Ricks?
Oh, sorry. The percentage of revenue collected, just wanted to be clear on what the percentage was projected to be for fiscal year 23. I understand that it was approximately 99.9% for fiscal year 22.
Are you referring to property taxes?
Right.
Yeah, I think Peter addressed that earlier. The expectation for property tax receipts for 23 is the same for
99.
And I think what I said to you in my opening remarks is that we're estimating something lower as a percentage current year and prior year collection, something lower than what actually occurred in fiscal year 21, which was almost 100%, because we went 2 years without a tax sale, so there was catch up. So we're about 0.7% lower in terms of our total collections. And one thing that I just want to say, just remember, on real estate, we're ultimately collecting 100% of our levy because we have a perfect lien on those properties. Sometimes they're delayed, and that's why we have tax sales. And we're always going to lose something on motor vehicles and tangibles. Businesses go out of business. They disappear. People leave the state, take their cars with them, and we can't catch them, although I think Kyla does a good job with the state on trying to catch them, but there are some of that. But on real estate, we're going to collect 100% of our levy eventually.
Thank you. And then I suppose my last item is just more of a comment to pick up on an issue that I'll be quick. The last item is more of a comment to pick up on something that Councilman Gebhardt raised. Looking at the top of page 60, line items 100-03506, recording fees, and 100-03507, realty transfer tax. Those are respectively projected for fiscal year 23 as being $1.1 million and $2.0 million in projected revenue. My concern there, and having some background in my full-time job in real estate, is with the interest rates increasing, and I'll be the first to say that at the time that this budget was being prepared, we didn't necessarily see the signs in the market. So, you know, this is certainly not a knock on the administration in the slightest, but knowing everything that we know now, that total of $3.1 million, it may well be higher than, we may well rather be able to collect higher amounts than in some years before the latest real estate boom, especially with the boom that we saw during COVID-19. But for the purpose of perspective, the actual amounts collected in some of the recent years before COVID-19, including fiscal year 2016, the actual amount collected was between both of those line items, just shy of $2 million. Fiscal year 2017, also just shy of $2 million. And fiscal year 2018, a bit over $2 million. So that's an area where I would be concerned about a shortfall. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council like to speak on revenues? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to follow up first on the items that have been touched on already, recording fees and realty transfer tax. Other numbers, that's 100-03506, 03507, $3.1 million. Are those numbers based upon the realty fee, I'm sorry, the realty transfer tax as well as the recording fees, are those based upon the selling prices of the properties?
Yes.
Okay.
And as I said earlier, through the end of February, we collected $1.5 million. So I think the $2 million estimate is reasonable. Neil or Kyla can probably talk more about the exact computation, but...
Yeah, I wasn't directly involved in putting the number together, but there's a couple of things. This year, where there was a new real estate transfer tax that impacted any sale over $800,000, so there's going to be additional revenue coming in from that. Also, as the market interest rates heat up, we'll see that there's changes in what happens with people, unfortunately, going through a foreclosure. All this triggers new recordings and new transfer taxes, and I think the sure. estimate, if anything, is probably conservative.
But essentially, it's driven by the selling prices of the property.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I would point out that 2023 budget is about $100,000 higher in revenue projections than 2022. 2022, you got just about $3 million. In 2023, it looks like it's $3.1 million, right? So when we go down to item 100-03-100 and the property tax revenue, projected revenue for 2022 is $236,204,000. I'm curious as to what the reason is for budgeting $231,298,000 for fiscal year 2023.